This liturgy is always so abrupt. We move from that moment of celebration, that moment of acclaim and welcome and jubilation, when there's that bunch of pilgrims who have joined Jesus for that final entry. They're just, you know, amazed and in awe of the wonder of what Jesus has done in their lives, in their friends' lives, in their families' lives. They've experienced that transformation. And then suddenly we transition from that moment of Palm Sunday proper into Good Friday and into that moment of such darkness and such despair. It really struck me during the week in pondering upon this, of just the reality of who Jesus is and the way that he ministers to us. I'm studying counseling at the moment, so the particular unit that I'm doing at the moment is looking at the person-centered therapy of Carl Rogers, who was prominent in the middle of last century. And Carl Rogers' theory kind of posits that there are three essential elements in order for therapy to be, you know, to be healing, to do the work that it needs to do. The first of these is that there needs to be congruence, that the person who's coming is broken. There's a wound, there's some issue that they're presenting with. And, you know, it's that refrain that we sang through the gospel. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we know that reality. We know the truth of who we are as sinners, that there is indeed an incongruence in our lives. And finding someone that is a little bit further along the way, someone that has done some of that personal work and is able to present to us that experience that brings some sense of order. So congruence is the first. The second is to have this unconditional positive regard for the other person. And it's a beautiful phrase because it seems, you know, so extraordinarily high and lofty. Have an unconditional positive regard. And yet, in the person of Jesus, that's precisely what we find. And the third requirement is that there would be empathy that is communicated and is able to be captured and expressed. Empathy means that you're able to understand what the other person is going through. In so many ways, of course, that is precisely and exactly what happens in Jesus. That when we come before him, he knows us. This letter to the Hebrews tells us that he has suffered all things. He's experienced every form of temptation just as we have. The only difference is that he doesn't sin. We, as sinners, know that darkness and that reality of turning away from the power of God's love. But Jesus, in so many ways, as Paul will say in Romans, is the new Adam, the new perfection of what God originally intended for all of us. But we couldn't live that reality. We couldn't get that sense of what it meant to actually be honored by God, to be in the image of God. But Jesus did. Jesus embodied all of that. Jesus embraced all of that. As our second reading today tells us in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, that though he was in the very nature of God, Jesus did not count that equality with God, something to be grasped, something to be clung onto. But he surrendered that. He released that in order to be one of us, to accept the reality of our humanity, to take on all of the utterances, all of the things, all of the different elements of what being human means. And in the Gospel of Mark, you know, we get that raw kind of reality about Jesus in his humanity. In the Gospel of John, it's a much more exalted kind of sense. But Mark is utterly relatable. It's a very human Jesus that we discover there. You know, he's brutally beaten, brutally afflicted during the whole experience of the Passion And then, of course, the terrors, the horrors of actually being crucified. And it's in that moment that he's available to us. It's in that moment that he's able to offer to us that hope and that promise. Because he has indeed that unconditional positive regard. He's able to reach into our sinfulness and to heal us with his sinlessness, with his desire to follow God in all things. He knows what it is to suffer. He suffered before us. He suffered every kind of affliction that humanity can throw at another person. So he certainly is capable of that amazing empathy. And in all of that, God holds us. In all of that, in the suffering of Jesus, he transforms us so that we can be changed, so that we can be the people that God originally intended us to be. The Hebrews tried, and without exception, they failed. They failed to live up to that image of God. Right across the pages of the Hebrew Bible, you're looking for someone that can be the new Adam, can be the model. But you close the final page of the Old Testament without finding anyone who's able to embody that. Every single character in the Hebrew Scriptures is utterly flawed, just as every single character in our own reality, just as we ourselves are so utterly flawed, except for the one gift of being saved by God, of allowing God's love to heal us. So let's indeed rejoice that Jesus has gone before us, that Jesus has suffered so that he would know our own suffering, so that he can bring healing for us, that he can restore us and renew us and allow us during this week to enter into that journey in order that we can be changed, in order that we can be transformed, in order that we can become the people that God called us to be, the people who bear his image, the people who worship God, the people who work for God in all that we do.